Happy New Year. Good to see you all. The Kingdom Within. No, that was somebody else. How are you all going? Mr. Tekshaw, how are you? Good to see you. I haven't seen you in years. Please put your hands together for Mr. Tekshaw. We've known Tekshaw and his family, oh my goodness, since 2012 from Port Hedland days. You know, so very good to see them. And good to see you all. Welcome to everybody. It's the start of a new year. This morning we're going to have the opportunity to listen to Pastor Phil Pringle. Phil Pringle is the one that started C3 many, many years ago. And I'm going to ask this morning that as you listen to this message, it goes for exactly 19 minutes and 34 seconds. And I want you to lean in to what he's saying about creating the environment in our lives for the seed of God to thrive. That it is a personal responsibility that if you want to see change and growth in your life, you're going to have to create the environment in your own life that's going to allow growth to take place. It is a personal responsibility. One thing I will say, that Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says, what does it say? It says, men ought to pray and faint not. Men ought to pray and faint not. And this is a message for this year from the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging us that we've all got to do it. Prayer is going to be essential for whatever it is that you want to do in your life, and we are not going to faint until God begins to rain his righteousness upon you and upon your family. You cannot want to be successful this year without the Lord in your lives. My great encouragement this year is that you are going to lean into the Lord like never before. So, and when you're ready, and then at the end, what we're going to do at the end, Pastor Nami and I are going to come up after the band is going to sing this wonderful song that they sang, which was very good. And then we're going to, and I'm asking this time when we get to sing that song, let that our God reigns. Let that be a declaration for your year. Let this be the declaration. Let it be your prayer that God, you reign in my life. Because the one thing we know is that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know that for sure. But God does. But we are going to declare that God, you reign. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, you reign. And that is going to be our declaration. So that when things come up against your family, you remember the 5th of January is the date that you declared that no matter what comes in my life, God, you are going to do what? You reign. And I'll say this, that in 2009, my wife and I went for a dating scan because she was starting to show that she was pregnant. And they went for the examination. And the sonographer went in and out and then said, oh, and I thought, okay, something is not right. And they came back and then they said, look, there's something wrong with this child. We see that the child's intestines are outside his body. And we thought, oh my goodness, that's kind of crazy. Give us more information. They didn't give us information. They said, okay, you have to wait for the specialist. And so we waited. And I remember we went home and all we could do is pray and say, Lord, we're just going to give it to you. And luckily that night we had went to a connect group. And we explained to the connect group, hey, this is what they said, boom, boom, boom. And they prayed with us. And later on we went to the specialist. And the specialist said that this condition, where the intestines are outside the body of the child, this child there's a potential to have all these abnormalities. And so what they encouraged, and they strongly encouraged, is that why don't you, it's still okay within the 12 weeks, back in the days it was 12 weeks, if you want to terminate the pregnancy, you can go ahead and do that. And so we said, no, we made the decision, we're not going to do that. And I remember one night, I was outside in Alice Springs, that's where we were living, and I said that, Lord, no matter what happens, that this child is going to come out and it's going to be, however the child comes out, I have no problem with you. Because I said, and my boss sort of like said, oh, you know, you need to worry about your wife, terminate the pregnancy, boom, boom, boom. And I said to her, I said, look, how is it that God has given us, you know, other kids that would think are okay, and then this one that potentially may not be okay will say, no, we don't want this one. But this thing, I'm saying this, that God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So we're going to declare at the end of this service that our God reigns, that no matter what happens, we are going to do what? We are going to stick with the Lord. And I remember saying to him, I said, Lord, no matter what happens, I'm good with you. I'm not going to curse you out and call you all kinds of names. I've done that before. But I just said I wouldn't. So my encouragement is that as you listen to this, let the Spirit of God begin to talk to you. It doesn't matter what age you are. Let the purposes of God be established in your life as you listen to this today. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to C3 Message to the Movement. At the beginning of 2025, what an awesome year this is going to be. And I declare growth, increase, and expansion in all of your lives. I declare the blessing of God over every single congregation. I declare the anointing of the Holy Spirit increasing, fresh oil coming on every person, fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit pouring out, and the presence of Jesus being made manifest in every one of our services around the world. We declare blessing on every person who's experienced challenges and difficulties. We declare healing on those who are sick, miracles for those who are experiencing impossible situations right now. We believe with you, the power of God is coming upon you today to bring breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough in the name of Jesus. And I'm believing that this message I share is going to help us grow throughout this coming year. That's why it's simply called growth. Mark 4, verse 26 to 29 says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. That word in the Greek is automaton. Automaton, and it means to do it automatically. So it just happens if the right conditions are surrounding the seed, automatically it's going to cause growth. And I'm believing that for you and I throughout this coming year, the growth of God will be automatic because the environment, the situation that we create all around us is going to be perfect for growth to take place. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then after that, the full grain in the head. So it's staging. Growth has stages. And then it says, but when the grain ripens, immediately the farmer puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And all of us need to recognize when our harvest is upon us. It's so important that we are recognizing God's seasons and God's times. Right now, get ready for growth. Because it's coming into your church. It's coming into your connect group. It's coming into your finances. Increase. God is the God of increase. We can be trying to make things grow, or else we can be providing the environment in which things grow. The conditions for planted seeds to grow are soft, weeded soil. So if we've got hardness in our heart, the Bible says, break up your fallow ground. Get soft. Get on an altar call. Get before the Lord and revisit those things that soften our heart towards Him. Forgive people. Don't hold grudges. That only hardens our heart. Don't be rebelling against God. Yield to Him. And as we're soft, that seed that comes into our heart has a chance to grow. If it's hard, it doesn't even get in. And then if we're watering the word inside of us. The seed, everything needs water. Life requires water. For us to be living churches with living ministries and to be life-giving, the water of the Holy Spirit needs to be pouring over us. The water of the Word of God needs to be coming off our pulpits and through our people. And as we worship that, it's like evaporation. It's like the water goes up and then comes back down as a cloud-drenching revival breaks out in our heart and in the heart of people around you. Hosea 10, verse 12 says, "Sow for yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." So how long should we be seeking the Lord? Until he comes raining righteousness on you. Don't you wish it said, seek the Lord for 1 hour, or seek the Lord for an extended prayer time in church? No time is on this. It just says, seek the Lord until he comes. And when he comes, he's going to rain righteousness on you. I think he's asking us to seek the Lord until our hearts are soft again, until we have got good soil in our inner man. Out of those four conditions that Jesus spoke of when he talked about the sower and the seed, he said, look, one condition is that the ground is hard. So the seed doesn't even go in and the devil just takes the seed away straight away. The other is it's weedy. It's got all kinds of weeds and it hasn't been weeded out. And so they choke the word. The word gets going, but then it just gets choked out. And then there's the rocky places. Well, the seed gets in, but it can't get roots down because of rocks inside. And then there's finally the good soil. And Jesus says that parable is the key. If you understand that parable, it's the key to understanding all the parables of the Word of God. So it's a major, major parable to get to understand, because it opens up the whole Word of God. And it is basically saying the seed goes into the soil, you irrigate it and provide the right environment for it, it'll pop out. Understand this, the seed is the same in every circumstance. So the parable is not about the seed. The parable is about the environment that we actually put that seed into. Jeremiah 4 verse 3 says, "Thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among the thorns." And so what we don't do is actually as important as what we do. I've heard some people say, well, the New Testament is not about what you don't do. It's more about what you do. Yeah, sort of. But if we don't stop doing certain things, the new life is going to get drowned. The seed of the new life is not have a chance to actually sprout. We've got to cut out of our lives some of the things that obstruct that. We've got to weed the soil. And that's, you know, that's a very real issue in today's world, especially the one about the thorns. In Matthew 13, 22, it says, "He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So it's so important that we weed out the thorns and the things that are going to stop the word from flourishing in our lives. So the word of God coming into our lives every day waters that seed. Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11 says, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." When the word of God is in our mouth and we are speaking it like this, we will find it waters that seed. Once the heart is soft and we're watering our congregations with the word of God and we're speaking scripture into our own soul, we find that we flourish. We thrive in life. It's not just about surviving, people. It's about thriving. Another condition for the seed and for growth to take place is sunshine. So we got to get rid of everything that shades us from the sun. And there could be all kinds of things that stop sunlight from getting into our lives. Positive, warm, life-giving rays. So what is that? Love. The Bible says in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is like the sunshine for me. Number one thing that God does for every one of us, He loves us. He loves you. Loves you. And that's sunshine. But the best way that love is actually experienced is when we love one another. And when you smile on a person, when you meet people, the Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's a little uncultural or culturally inappropriate for us these days. But at least don't greet one another with a holy slap. Greet one another with something that shines on them. And smile when you meet people. It may be life-changing for them. How good is it sometimes when you're having a really bad day, somebody just smiles at you, says, hey, so nice to see you. And you go, ah, that's like such a relief. It's like the face of God. In fact, Esau, when he met Jacob was so afraid because for years and years and years, they'd had this rivalry between them. They were brothers, twin brothers. And when Jacob, he saw Esau, he was so nervous that Esau was going to take revenge on him and try and kill him or something. But Esau arrived with smiling. And Jacob said, man, your face is like the face of God to me today. I was expecting judgment. And I get a smile. I get sunshine. Love warms people's hearts. Love provides sunshine in their lives. Positive rays, life-giving. Never be a life-draining person. Be life-giving so that you enthuse people, you encourage them, you tell them anything you've heard about them that's positive. Tell them, I heard that you've done this incredible thing. Encourage people. Tell them you're doing so well. You're going to make it through whatever challenge you're facing. Look at you. You're looking so great. Don't be withholding praise and congratulations and celebrations of other people's lives. That is sunshine in people's lives. Protection from pests. Oh, if you've ever had an orchard or tried to grow a garden out your backyard, pests are an amazing, amazing challenge to getting anything growing. And any farmer will tell you that they have to protect against pests of all kinds. And negative things coming into our life actually can destroy the growth that God is wanting to have. So make sure that you're on the lookout for bad attitudes. You're on the lookout for people who can be like pests. Sometimes they like just whispering gossip and criticism and complaining into other people's lives. We need to actually talk with them and not agree with them, not go that way. Don't let bad conversations and things that destroy the life of the seed of God, especially unclean things. If that gets in amongst our life, it blocks the working of the great growth juice that God has in His church. Amen. So when the harvest comes, we need to reap it and understand there's harvests everywhere. Jesus said the harvest is ripe. It's white and ready right now. And that was 2,000 years ago. But He was talking about a Samaritan village which had all come to Christ because of one woman that He touched with a word of knowledge and the power of God. Went through that woman to reach the village with revival. You know, amazing story. And Jesus said, look how the harvest is so white, it's ready. And in areas of our world, there are harvests. And simply, we need to recognize that and reap the harvest. There's a sad scripture in Jeremiah that says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. It's like there was a moment where we could have taken advantage of it, but we didn't. Another challenging scripture is Proverbs 10, verse 5. He who gathers in summer is wise, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Let's not be sleepy. Let's be prayerful, awake, and ready for when God wants to move in a particular segment of our societies, of our communities, whether it's an age group or a particular employment group. There's always somewhere that God has got a harvest happening, and that will cause us growth when we reach out to them. There's always opportunities in our high schools, in our universities, for us to reach out and see incredible harvests come of people turning to Christ. Another thing that is going to make growth take place in our churches is in Ephesians 4:16, where it says, from Christ, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies causes growth of the body. And when we think, okay, we're going to join together by joints and ligaments, it's that joining together that causes growth in the church. That is why the devil is always trying to create division. He's trying to create breakdowns in relationships where people are offended and upset. And all of us need, on the one hand, to be working to not give offense, and on the other hand, learning how to not take offense. Some people are taking offense when it's not even intended today. Don't take offense. If it's not intended, don't pick it up and get all aggrieved about something. And even if we have been offended, let's forgive. Let's let it go and get beyond it. In fact, I was reading a book once by Richard Wurmbrand, who was like a Christian hero for me. And he'd been imprisoned by the communists in Russia for 20 years and spent a lot of that time in solitary confinement. And he said, I heard him. I went and heard him speak when he came to Christchurch, New Zealand. He said, mature Christians don't forgive. And I thought, you're joking me. That's completely untrue, that they do. And then he went on to say, because mature Christians love, and love does not take into account any wrong it suffers. And I thought, oh, you got me. So if we are loving people, even when offense is intended, it rolls off us. We don't take it. It doesn't affect us. And offense is one of the things. Jesus said offenses will come, that they'll come. But woe unto those by whom they come. And he says, and you've got to learn how to handle and manage criticism, offense, slander, gossip, all those things that are going to happen to every one of us. And so when we disallow those things that would cause division and we search for unity and to stay joined, because understand this, when we're isolated, we don't grow. It's only in connection with one another that we actually grow and expand and increase. Growth comes through our connections with each other. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That's growth. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and withered. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. So the way Jesus loved his disciples, he's saying, you guys, love one another and that'll bond you together. One of the elements missing in today's society at an alarming level is emotional bonding, deep friendships where people are bonded with one another and can feel one another's heartbeat. And that especially needs to happen between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters and families. And if it doesn't happen, we're always scratching and scraping to try and make the relationship work. But I have some great friends in this life, all around the world, in our movement. Mark Kelsey, Simon McIntyre, Greg French, Gordon Moore, John Pierce, and many others. Mark Saundercock, all of these, we've been friends for many, many years, but we don't often talk to each other. It's not like everybody's insecure. They're saying, oh, they haven't rung me for 2 days. I wonder if they still like me. We're secure in the relationship because it has a depth in Christ that we're doing and working the will of God together. And so it's important that all of us actually learn how to stay in these great relationships in Jesus' name. How do you make relationships work? It's a big subject, too big for us to discuss here, but we will one day. It's so important that we learn how to make our relationships work properly. I talk about it in You, the Leader, the book. Most of that book is about relationships. But the royal law that Jesus said to us, he says, what you want others to do for you, You do it for them. Matthew 7, verse 12. It's the rule of life. However we want to be treated, let's treat others like that. In this environment, friends, growth happens. Increase. God is the God of increase. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. And the God who gives increase, I'm praying, will be with you throughout the year of 2025. The God who causes growth, abundance, enlargement. I'm praying that He is with you at every level in your life, blessing you and paving a way before you that'll surprise you with the level of blessing that's coming. God bless you. Have a fantastic year.